I was totally, when I was at Straight Outta Compton, this serious, like, metal dude, giant long hair, giant beard.
Nice.
Rocking the NWA shirt.
Oh, wicked. Oh, man.
100 miles and running, baby.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, see, you never know who's an NWA fan. Like, when I was, like, 14, 15, I listened to NWA, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, MC Ren, Dr. Dre, like, every gangster rap album I could find, right?
The DOC.
That's right, the DOC. Used to listen to diss tracks and thought they were so cool. And because at the time, you know, Boys in the Hood was popular, 40-ounce OE is very popular in those groups. Me and some friends, we went out and acquired some OE, and we got drunk off OE, and we ate pizza. We, for some reason, we covered them with mustard, and later on, we got sick. I puked everywhere. It was gross. So, lesson learned, don't try to be a gangster.
God damn, it's a brand new payback. From the straight gangsta back and straight gangsta black. How many motherfuckers gotta pay? Went to the shop and dusted off the AK. Caps gotta get peeled. Cause the nigga you love to hate still can kill it with. It ain't no pop, cause that sucks. One, and you can new jack swing on my nuts. Down with the niggas that I bail out. I'm platinum bitch and I didn't have to sell out. Fuck you, Ice Cube, that's what the people say.
Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So episode 34.
Sure.
Yeah. You're always so impressed.
I just show up, man.
That's right. Yeah. We're going to hit 100. You're like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, episode 34. It's kind of cool.
Sure. No sports star this time, man.
Hey.
No, like.
Oh, yeah. I always try 34? To. The Charles Barkley episode.
Nice.
There we go. Yeah. Or did he wear 30?
I don't know.
32, 34, whatever.
Best golf swing ever.
That's right. Yeah, he's a madman.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to since last episode?
Not counting down to festival time, man.
Oh, dude.
Holy shit.
Desperate times for cinephiles, man.
Movie watching is becoming really hard.
I thought about going on strike for a while.
How's that idea of doing a podcast every 2 weeks handling us right now?
Oh,
eh?
Dude. Yeah, it's starting to bite us in the ass. It's like, yeah, we've had 3 episode runs where we're like, well, I kind of like this one, and I hated this one, so.
But yeah, other than that, footy.
Back in full swing. What are we, 3 weeks in?
Yeah, so yeah. Our teams have identical records.
That's right. Yeah, 2-1-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, and both teams, though, they don't really look that explosive.
No. You know what? My team looks damn good defensively.
Yeah.
Haven't let a goal in yet.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And just have nothing going forward.
Yeah.
It is so disjointed.
Yeah.
They look terrible.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've seen a lot of Rooney jokes out there. a lot are inappropriate.
And you know what even makes it worse? They always play at 4:30 a.m.
That's right. So you have to get up.
Sucks.
Yeah.
You got up super too.
Early. Yeah, I did get up in the last one. It was like, I missed the first like 20 minutes, but it's still fun.
I should have.
Yeah.
Except for right. Rooney scored a goal that should have counted.
Oh, that's right.
Ugh.
Yeah. Tons of goals this year that have been disallowed. And
yep.
At least 2 or 3 that have gone Liverpool's
I
favor.
I know. But you guys should have one win.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it's 2-1-0. It's 2-1-0. The history books will not remember these moments.
I'm thinking by the end of the season, Adrian and I are going to have at least one punch up on this podcast.
Oh, totally.
Where I say something bad about Liverpool, he's just going to get pissed.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And we're going to go start our own solo podcast.
Yeah.
Solo careers.
Which is Adrian ranting about Twitter.
Yeah. That's right. That's me.
Did you watch the Walking Dead prequel last night?
No interest.
No, me neither.
Yeah. I did watch SummerSlam, and it was awesome. I haven't watched wrestling in probably more than 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, Marco invited me over, and he has the WWE Network, so yeah, we watched that and had a lot of fun. It was good.
Yeah, I saw your tweets. They're pretty funny.
That's right.
Wasn't that shit like 4 hours long?
It was.
Holy crap, yeah, dude.
Quite a commitment. But thankfully, a few commercials here and there. So they gotta pay for the network.
Yep.
Otherwise, just playing a bit of PS4, bought this game called Super Mega Baseball, super addictive, it's a lot of fun. Tried the Black Ops 3 beta, It's pretty fun, but it's like you said, it's like for hardcore gamer kids who are like super professional.
Yeah.
Super fast paced. And if you don't see them, you'll die right away kind of thing. So
yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. And, you know, Big Brother 17, been watching that every episode and not the hugest fan this season.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like they're trying to piss everybody off by kicking the wrong people off.
Yeah. This cast has been really
bad. Yeah. They're really stupid.
They're very
dumb. Or they just never watched the show before.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It is brutal. But yeah, that's all I've been up to. Work and footy and video games.
Have you been watching a TV show called Mr. Robot?
No, but I've seen a lot of people talking about it.
So good.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, that show is great.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if it even airs in Canada.
Oh, really?
Because I might not be watching it legally.
Oh, okay. But
yeah, it's pretty damn great.
Right on.
I got an email this morning from Amazon saying they shipped me a new video game.
Oh, cool.
And I totally forgot that I pre-ordered.
Metal Gear?
No. Dishonored Definitive Edition.
Oh, no way. PS4. Oh, sweet.
I fucking love that game.
Right on.
Got my 30% off E3 discount.
Nice.
Which was sweet.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I saved like $20 on that game.
Right on.
And yeah, Metal Gear, September 1st.
Oh, man.
Everybody's already given it 10 out of 10.
Yeah, all across the board. It's crazy.
And I didn't pre-order it.
Neither did I.
I forgot.
Yeah, I don't know if I will. I've got NHL coming up and FIFA. It's going to be a log jam.
Yeah. I already have a ton to play, so.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to play Dishonored.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Did everybody buy Hackers on Blu-ray?
I haven't bought mine yet.
Get on that.
I went to Best Buy. They didn't have it. So.
I think I might have got the only copy in Victoria.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I phoned around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm like, do you have Hackers on Blu-ray? And they're like, that movie's really old. I'm like, I know.
They're like, LOL, no, noob.
So, yeah, HMV had it. And I went up to the counter. And I'm like, do you have my copy of Hackers I have on hold? And she like gives it to me. And I'm like, hack the planet.
Hack the planet.
And she just looks at me like, oh, I'm an idiot.
Oh, they're trashing our rights, man. Trashing our rights.
There's a pool on the roof.
That's right. Oh, man. I love that movie, dude. So that's awesome.
Everybody buy that.
Yeah. I'm going to get it.
Green screen approved.
That's right. It's the seal of approval.
Yep.
Do you have anything else?
No, that's it, man.
Cool. All right. So just sticking with the format of the show, I think we're going to get into the rant, where we rant about anything movie related. Do you want to go first? I've got a kind of a long-winded one.
Adrian's bringing the thunder this episode.
So, I am, dude. Well, it's in the spirit of Straight Outta Compton. I got a bit of a diss track ready.
Yeah. Okay. So mine's also kind of about Straight Outta Compton and cool. How... you know, I'm reading on the internet that, you know, Straight Outta Compton's opening and they're thinking that maybe there might be riots at the screenings or something. Yeah.
Violence.
Violence.
Hired security.
Gang members are going to come and like fight and stuff.
It's 1991.
So yeah, Universal hired a bunch of security guards to go to these screenings to make sure nothing happened. And of course, nothing happens.
Yeah.
That's a little racist, you fucks.
It's brutal. Why don't they have security at, you know...
Every white movie that has violence in it.
Yeah. Mission Impossible.
Yeah, because it's a you know, African-American gang movie. They automatically think that people are going to riot.
Yeah.
That's kind of racist.
That's brutal, man.
Yeah. I didn't like hearing that at all.
Yeah. I didn't like it either.
So, you know, yeah, as you said, we're not... This isn't like 1970 or whatever.
I know.
Kind of sick.
Yeah, we didn't march to get to the movie. I just hopped in my car and hop on the bus.
So that's mine, and I'm gonna like go in the corner and start laughing in a second when Adrian starts doing this. So
nice.
Go ahead, man.
So every once in a while, and not often, mind you, I listen to a local podcast called Cinema Spiel. It's from three Victoria guys: Russell, Kyle, and Jason. The latest one is called "Don't Take Your Kids to R-Rated Movies." It's like, oh, I got to check this out. First thing they do, they talk about Straight Outta Compton. Now, Straight Outta Compton is rated 18A, which means that as long as a child is accompanied by an adult, they can be there.
That's 18A in Canada, R-rated in the U.S.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 18A, well, specifically BC, Canada, which is where we're based. and where they watch movies. I looked up just basic stuff on the internet. To hire a babysitter for one night, for an evening, it would run anywhere between $30 to $60 minimum. A child ticket to a movie is $9. You do the math. Now, the thing is, I go to the movies to watch movies, not to offer parenting tips or judge others. And let's note that not a single one of those guys is a parent. I'm not a parent. It's not our place to tell people what to do with their children, which is kind of what pissed me off about listening to that stuff. And the thing is, those tickets are paid for by the parents. From a business standpoint, Cineplex is happy. They couldn't care less if there's, you know, an 8-year-old, 5-year-old in the audience. They got their $9 per kid. They're happy. Jason hasn't paid for a movie in over 10 years. So he has really no right to complain about screenings. And he always fronts about being a tough guy when he's at the movies. But not once in the time we went to movies did he ever interrupt somebody and say, hey, keep it down. That was always me. I was always the muscle at the movies.
It's your giant, intimidating voice.
That's right. And the funny thing is, I'm like the nicest guy you could ever meet. They also...
What are you talking about? That's me.
That's right. That's Bill. That's totally Bill. Now, the thing is, they did offer Stars and Strollers as an alternative, because that's the one where the lights are dim, slightly dim, and the volume is turned down a bit. But Stars and Strollers only takes place during Thursdays, like in the morning, where maybe those parents are working. Maybe the kids are in daycare. Like, that's very limited option for those parents. I won't ever pretend to understand what a family is going through, especially in public. The children have every right to be there. The parents have every right to be there. If you got a problem, take it up with the ratings board. Until then, shut the fuck up.
What he said.
I hate it when people are saying, you don't have any right to be here. You shouldn't be here. It's like, well, they can be there and they're there.
Yeah.
Have a problem, go talk to management. Talk to the ratings board.
And they'll tell them to fuck off too, because it's a business.
It's a business.
They want money. It's a business that's going out of business because nobody's going to see movies anymore.
Yeah.
So when people actually show up, take their money.
Yeah, take their money. Sell them popcorn.
Yeah.
Sell them drinks. You know, I do think it sucks to hear that little kids are seen Straight out of Compton. But you know what? When I was a kid, my parents took me to R-rated films. You know, I saw Aliens on the opening weekend when I was like 8 years old. I'm fine.
My dad was a single parent and he took me to Raging Bull.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like
Apocalypse Now.
Oh, really? No way.
Yeah. Like, yeah. My dad didn't care. He knew, yeah, I was just going to sit there because I knew if I moved, I'd get my butt kicked.
Oh yeah.
Cause my dad wanted to watch Raging Bull.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's well within your right to go complain to a manager and have them talk to that family and stuff. But adults are even worse than little kids at movie screenings anyway.
Old people.
Old people. They're the worst. Oh. Anyway.
Remember when this rant used to be a 60-second rant?
That's right. Yeah. This is now the 6-minute rant. Yeah. So I don't know. I could go on for days about this. I just think it's shitty when other people are prejudging, and you know, that's not cool, man. Are we ready to get into our first main review?
Easy is his name, and the boy is coming.
Straight out of Compton, the brother that'll smother your mother, make your sister think I love her.
So Adrian is a fan, obviously.
That's right. Yeah. All right, here we go. Straight out of Compton.
Let me tell you what I see here. A lot of raw talent. Swagger. Bravado. People are scared of you guys. They think you're dangerous. But you have a unique voice. The world needs to hear it.
All right, let's hit this shit.
All right.
All right?
All right.
Spinning records ain't paying none of the bills around here.
What you talking about? I get paid.
$50, Andre. You think that makes you rich?
It's a start.
Hey, Q. What, you a poet now?
The flyest one, you know, nigga.
You got them rocks? That hard shit.
You know that's all I do.
I got a cold ass beat.
That hardcore reality rap.
So what you talking about doing?
Cruising down the street in my 6-4.
Hey, that was dope, eh?
That shit was dope, man.
You a genius.
What's NWA stand for anyway?
No whites allowed? Something like that?
No. Niggas with attitudes.
All right, so Straight Outta Compton. What's the framework for this film, dude?
Five young men from Compton, California, join together to make a rap group named NWA. I'm not going to tell you what that stands for, but you probably already know.
Yeah, that's right.
Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, MC Ren, and Yella.
Yeah.
The last two are forgotten.
Oh, completely. Yeah, they're not even a part of this movie.
No, they're in like little chunks. Like Suge Knight has more screen time than MC Ren and Yella combined.
Oh, totally. And that just screams like, I hate you guys. You're not going to be part of this. Because Ice Cube and Dre, they were producers on the film.
Or
right?
Or they're not like, it's sexier to interview Ice Cube and Dr. Dre than it is MC Ren and Yella.
That's true.
Yeah. It's all about promotion.
Yeah.
Everything I saw promotion-wise about this film, it was Cube and Dre up front.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got to sell that brand.
Yep.
Got to get them to buy that Apple Music and these headphones.
Yeah. So I think I like this a little bit more than you did.
You did.
But let me just preface that by saying I think I only kind of liked the first hour of the film.
Yeah.
And that was when they were like kind of forming the band and recording the album Straight Outta Compton and the subsequent tour of that album.
Yeah.
Which I thought was good stuff.
Yeah.
Especially the tour stuff. See what
I wasn't into it.
You weren't into that the fuck the police scene? That
not
was pretty
really
awesome.
Yeah, the reason why I wasn't into it is because they didn't have enough build up. There was no weight behind that.
True.
There was no payoff. Like after it was done, you never heard about it again. It's like, what happened there? What happened?
Did you notice where that was performed?
No.
Joe Louis Arena, baby.
Oh, really?
Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, that's awesome. That's right.
That's my team, by the way.
That's right.
Amazing kind of first hour. Yeah. And then it just becomes the, let's do as much as we can in the next hour and a half and completely gloss over a lot of stuff that kind of might have been vital.
Oh, totally.
And we'll throw in a couple cameos just to make people happy.
To make people go, oh, cool, there's what's
Snoop.
His name? There's Snoop.
Oh, my God, there's Snoop. Oh, my God, there's Tupac.
Yeah.
Who cares?
There's Suge Knight. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah, you say glossed over. That's the perfect way of putting it. This group had a big history of violence and just violence against women, especially.
This just in, Dre beat multiple women.
Yeah.
Multiple.
And even Eminem had a joke about that in one of his tracks.
Yep.
It was gross. He's like, you really want to take advice from someone who slapped Dee Barnes? And I was like, yeah, I remember that track. I remember that line.
Yep.
But this film, it really has nothing to offer in terms of, you know, I grew up on their music. I listened to all their music. I listened to all the diss tracks. That was my Wikipedia back then. Like, I was listening. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, they don't like each other. Oh, I got to go back and listen. And I got to grab this album. But anyway, nothing is a surprise in here. They cover all the main points that happened in their careers. And they cover it to a fault.
Yeah, but it's a 3-minute scene.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's dismissed as quickly as it's introduced. Like, there's a moment where you meet Dr. Dre, and he meets a woman at a party. You see him taking her home, and she's like, I can't get with you, Dre. You're a gangster. And then the next minute, she's married to him in his mansion. And it's like,
That scene was like the beginning of like a bad R. Kelly video.
It was so stupid. Yeah.
And then he peed on her.
That's right. Yeah. I'll piss on you.
Okay. So, Paul Giamatti plays the band's manager.
That's right.
Did you like him?
No. I thought he was overacting in this film.
He's Paul Giamatti.
That's right. It didn't work. I think it probably didn't work because the other actors I thought were garbage. And I seem to be the only one saying that.
I thought O'Shea Jackson Jr. was pretty good.
Yeah, O'Shea Jackson, I stand corrected. He was really good.
He's got a nice presence.
Yeah.
And he looks just like his dad.
Yeah, it's Ice Cube.
Like, there's a reason
son.
He played Ice Cube, because he looks just like Ice Cube.
Yeah, it looks like him. And yeah, he is a really good actor. I hope that he continues to get roles. And that was his first role.
Yeah, I thought Jason Mitchell as Eazy-E was decent.
Eh, I didn't buy it. didn't buy him or Dre at all.
Oh, no, no, no. he was garbage. He was pretty terrible. What'd you think of Paul Giamatti's hairpiece?
Oh, it was bad.
What's with Paul Giamatti in every film nowadays having a really bad hairpiece?
I don't know. It's like in his contract or something. And he had a scene with Eazy-E that was supposed to be emotional, but all I could do was roll my eyes and try to hold back laughter because it was just so terrible.
You're so much better than that.
That's right. He was so bad.
Yeah. So F. Gary Gray directed this.
That's right. What did he do?
He directed Friday, Ice Cube's first movie.
That's right.
So there's a connection there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of brought up in the film. Like he's writing Friday for 30 seconds of the film and never brought up again.
Never brought up again.
He also made The Negotiator, which is an okay film, I guess. And the remake of The Italian Job, which I actually kind of like.
It's kind of fun. I didn't like it, but I only watched it once.
And the director of photography was Matthew Libatique, who was a fucking genius.
Oh, really?
And this film didn't look very good.
Yeah.
It looked like a TV movie.
Yeah. For me, it had really nothing going for it. There's a wraparound story with Rodney King with his trial and the police beatings and the riots that ensued. None of that added to the film at all. It was just there.
They showed footage on the TV of the riots, and then it cuts to Eazy-E's house with Eazy on the couch with a single tear coming down his cheek. I'm just like, come on.
And he's in his multi-million dollar mansion.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, fuck you.
Yeah. The real problem with this film is it should have been a 6-hour documentary on VH1.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. They shouldn't have glossed it over. They should have just hey, did you know that NWA had a fourth album? Because it sure wasn't in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Eazy-E had a solo career.
Yeah.
Really? You didn't know because it wasn't in the film.
It wasn't in the film.
Hey, Ren had one too.
Yeah. Yeah, he
also did. Not in the film.
Yeah. Only Ice Cube and Dr. Dre went on to succeed from the group.
It's pathetic.
It was brutal.
I was so pissed off.
Yeah.
And last episode, we were super hyped on this film.
Oh, totally.
This was the film from my childhood.
My
teen years.
Yeah.
If they made a movie about Slayer or Black Sabbath, that would also be really cool.
Oh, totally.
But I liked NWA quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Public Enemy.
I like Public Enemy, too.
Yeah, Public Enemy, they were good. Yeah.
But, complete disappointment. This movie kind of blows.
I hated it.
Except for the first hour, which I think is pretty good. But it's a 2 hours and 40 minutes, more or
less. Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah, it's really long. And that, last hour and 40 minutes is garbage.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed, man, because, like you said, if you go back to our previous episodes, anytime we talked about it, we're like, man, that trailer looks insane. It was like Ice Cube and Dr. Dre cruising around talking about growing up and when they started the band and how they created a movement and created music and their voices are the weapon and all this stuff. And you're just like, oh, man, this is going to be sweet.
I just thought of another scene I got to ask if you liked. Did you like the No Vaseline part?
That was pretty cool. Yeah. I like the way they pulled that off.
With the 100 miles and running disc. And then,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then Cube was all pissed off and went in the studio. O'Shea Jackson Jr., when he's rapping, is awesome. He looks just like his dad.
Totally.
It's creepy.
Same mannerisms, body posture, everything.
Yeah, that's all I got for the film. Major disappointment.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. We can't recommend it.
No. Man, this whole year.
Yeah. Nothing but
every time I think I'm going to love something.
Yeah.
The next movie I think I'm going to love is Green Inferno.
Oh, yeah. It's next month.
Next month?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably going to suck.
It probably will.
Because I got no luck.
Yeah. That's right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that's straight out of Compton. Let's move on to our next film. Guy Ritchie is back. Let's talk about The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Are they still following us?
Yes.
Is there one of them?
Hmm?
Is he looking at us?
Hmm?
Does he have just one hand on the steering wheel?
Mm-hmm.
When you hear something that sounds like a gunshot, drive.
All right, so The Man from U.N.C.L.E., tell our listeners a little bit about The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
So CIA agent Napoleon Solo and KGB agent Ilya Kuryakin. Did I say that right?
Yeah, don't care. Sounds
don't
right.
Care.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Joined together to work on a mission to stop a mysterious criminal organization from doing nuclear bombs.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. And of course, there's a couple women in there to, for hijinks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Femme fatales.
Yes.
Yes. What did you think of it? Did you love it, hate it, like it?
I thought it was pretty decent, actually.
Yeah.
It was a lot better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I was not expecting a lot, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, that's about how I felt.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed it because I was on the defensive because of Guy Ritchie.
He has a bit of a stigma attached to him, doesn't he? He's kind of got that stink.
Yeah, like I wasn't a fan of the Sherlock films. When I think about the last film of his that I really, really enjoyed it, I have a hard time. Like, I'm thinking of Lockstock.
Snatch.
Yeah. I'm one of the few that enjoyed Rock'n'Rolla.
I was going to say about 20 minutes of Rock'n'Rolla.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I think he's back in good form here. Dialogue snappy, solid pace. It's got a lot of dry wit, a lot of dry humor, especially from Armie Hammer and Henry Cavill. A lot of people said they don't have any chemistry, but I thought the total opposite. I thought they were great together.
Okay, but could you imagine this movie with the dialogue from Snatch? That kind of dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a really good movie.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I kept on thinking to myself, this would be really cool if it was like Jason Statham-ish kind of stuff.
Yeah.
From Snatch or Lockstock. But that being said, I really like Henry Cavill in this film.
Yeah, he's great.
He's amazing in this film.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had it in him. He's kind of like a giant block of wood in Man of Steel, but
That's right.
He has a lot of presence in this film.
Oh,
he's
totally.
He's really funny and
he looks charismatic.
Looks really good in a suit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I liked Armie Hammer too.
Yeah. I loved his quiet aggression he had in the film. Because like there's times in the film where he gets like really agitated and he really wants to unleash some violence, and he's playing a big, Russian bear dude. He has to hold back a lot of the time, and I thought that was funny.
It's a fun film. Like, I don't understand why people aren't really liking it. Like, I think it's infinitely watchable.
Oh, totally.
You can't say it's not watchable.
Yeah.
It's a fun film.
Yeah.
Alicia Vikander shows up. She's really...
She is good.
Yeah, she's... Yeah. I don't think I'd go as far as say she's good. I think she's kind of underwritten.
Yeah.
She's just there to kind of move the plot along.
Yeah.
She's really nice to look at.
What about that? She had a dance scene in that. And the music for that scene is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is great. With that dance scene, I was like in tears laughing so hard.
There's a couple of scenes in this film that are really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. And one is like really violent.
Yeah.
And I was just like giggling like crazy. And I'm sure the people around me thought I was weird, but I just kept going for
it. At least you weren't crying.
That's right.
And Hugh Grant shows up to class the place up a little bit.
He does, yeah. Yeah, and he's just in there for just the right amount of time.
Yeah, he shows up and then disappears for an hour.
He does.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he shows back up. You're like, cool, Hugh Grant's back.
Yeah. If I have a couple nitpicks about the film, it's that Ritchie and Wigram, that's his writing partner, they can't seem to end a scene very well. Like, a lot of the scenes, like, just miss that, sticking the landing or a punchline. A lot of them just kind of fell flat, and they were just like, okay, let's move on to the next scene. The other thing I realized in this film, and I think it's because Ritchie kind of realizes it, is he's not much of an action director. So that's fine. He finds creative ways around getting behind that flaw of his and just being like, okay, I can't shoot action, so we're going to do this instead. And it worked for me. There was one scene I thought was brilliant when it should have been a big action scene, but he did something else with it, and I thought that was so fun and creative. I was like, all right, man, like, yeah.
I said this before, but the thing about Guy Ritchie is Matthew Vaughn was the talent behind Guy Ritchie.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he was his producer.
Oh, no way. Yeah, I didn't
for the
know
first
that.
Couple films, and then he went solo and then started making huge, giant, amazing Hollywood films.
Oh, okay.
That had really good action in them, and they were shot really well.
Ah.
Because Guy Ritchie wasn't there.
Okay, I see. Huh.
Matthew Vaughn was a talent.
Yeah, that's right.
Except for when he's reshooting Fantastic Four.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I fully agree with you, man. Super watchable. I had so much fun. I watched it twice because I went to see it by myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I took Sarah because I knew she would love it. And yeah, she had a great time.
Cool.
So yeah, I wrote here one more power quote for me. It is slick, sexy, and cool as hell. One of the best looking casts in recent years.
Agent Charlie, green screen.
That's right. There's a shot of Henry Cavill that almost converted me. I'm not even joking, dude. It's in the trailer, you know, where he's like behind the shadow and there's a bit of shadow over his face. This is just after he got in that shootout with Army Hammer. But yeah, half his face is covered with a shadow. And to me, that was just one of the most amazing shots of the year.
Meanwhile, like, there's Adrian in the theater making doe eyes at Henry Cavill.
OMG, squee! Henry Cavill!
He is a good looking man. I'll give
you
that.
Yeah. But yeah.
I think that's about it.
Cool.
It's a fun film.
Yeah, it's fun.
Nobody's going to see it, so check it out on Netflix or Blu-ray.
Yeah. On demand.
Because it's not making a lot of money.
That's right.
And they left it really wide open for a sequel.
They totally did.
It's never going to get made.
Probably not.
Because it cost a lot of money.
Yeah. Big budget.
Yeah.
Low return. That's too bad. It deserves better, I think.
Hopefully it makes money overseas.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Terminator Genesis had one of the biggest openings ever in China?
Yeah, like third or fourth, yeah, biggest.
And now they're going to make a sequel because of that.
That's crazy, stupid. Man. That's so crazy.
Yeah, hopefully Man from U.N.C.L.E. will open huge in China.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
So for everybody listening from China, go see it. All right, we're on to our last main review of the day. We're here to talk about American Ultra.
Since 1953, the government has been conducting a top-secret mind-control program to create super soldiers. These sleeper agents live among us, waiting to be activated. They could be your friend, your family, or the person you least expect.
Cherry Progressive, listen. Mandelbrot set is in motion. Echo Horizon has been reached.
Is that a lyric from something?
Do you want your soup?
All right, so American Ultra. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about American Ultra?
A stoner played by Jesse Eisenberg is a secret government weapon.
Ooh, boom.
Yeah, he's a sleeper agent. He's marked as a liability, and the government is going to kill him. Except he's a little too well-trained.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Connie Britton decides to go, that's her name, right?
Yes.
She goes and activates him.
I don't know how old she is.
Oh, dude.
But she's hot.
She is smoking hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyways, back to the film. From the director of Project X.
Yeah.
American Ultra.
Yeah, and the douche who wrote Chronicle.
Max Landis.
Max Landis.
He's a talented dude, but
super talented.
Just needs to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
What'd you think of this one, man?
I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching it. Eisenberg and Stewart really sell it for me. Like, they really felt like a couple because they're stoner couple, and they get into some shit, and they get into some shootouts, and bad stuff happens. And the whole time, like, right from the get-go, they're just doing little couple things that really, really tug my heartstrings, you know? Like, they're getting handcuffed, but they're still trying to, like, touch each other's hands and stuff like that. Like, little things like that really warm my heart.
Such a softy.
That's right. Kristen Stewart, she smiles a lot in this film, which I think is awesome.
She can smile?
She can smile when she's not biting her lip in that young adult series. But
Twilight.
Yeah, that's right.
Ugh.
Yeah. But yeah, really good supporting cast. We mentioned Connie Britton. She's super hot and really talented. Good as watcher for days. Topher Grace. I'm not a big Topher Grace fan, but he worked for me in this film because he's kind of like the perfect asshole.
Yeah. Topher Grace as the dick of the film.
And he's such a smug, just piece of shit.
Yeah.
You just want to punch him in the face the whole time.
Plays it pretty well.
Yeah.
We'll call it the Jason Bateman role.
That's right. That's funny you mention that, because I thought of him as like Jason Bateman Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the action's fun, and I had a good time with it. What did you think?
I thought it was decent. Wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be.
It did seem like in the marketing, like it was going to be stoner comedy.
Yeah. Action. Maybe I thought that coming in, but I just didn't laugh very much. And I'm like, okay, this probably maybe should have been a little bit funnier.
Yeah.
There's some pretty like wacky stuff going on in this film. So why can't it be funnier?
Oh yeah.
I did like them as a couple, as you said. I thought they were really good.
Cool.
Supporting actors, you know. Walton Goggins shows up for a bit.
Yeah. Is he that crazy guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping he'd be better, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I just love him.
he's a great actor, though.
Have you ever seen the TV series Justified?
No, I haven't seen that.
So good.
Cool.
And The Shield.
Okay.
Yeah. John Leguizamo shows up.
Oh, he is amazing in this.
Yeah.
He plays like local drug dealer / arms dealer, whatever.
I know we're both fans of Veep, and Tony Hale shows up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
He's always funny.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that, as I said, I think it comes down to the Max Landis script.
Oh, yeah.
I still think it was good enough.
Oh, really?
It's okay looking. It's shot fine, I guess. It's mostly dark scenes. Mm-hmm. Ship blows up. People get shot. But I just didn't think the script nailed it.
I think the reason for that is it's pretty generic stuff.
Like, yeah.
We've seen this before. We've seen Jason Bourne, who didn't know he was a walking weapon. But once he got his senses back,
yeah,
look out.
This is not that film.
No, definitely not.
Close.
No.
Really amazing end credits, though.
Oh, that was awesome.
If you're going to see American Ultra, stay for the end credits.
Yeah.
The entire thing.
The entire end credit sequence is better than most of the films we've seen all summer. And I'm not even exaggerating that at all.
No, I agree.
Yeah. That was really cool.
It's better than Fantastic Four, I'll tell you that.
It's better than that.
Yeah.
Better than Age of Ultron. About on par with Furious 7. We're talking about a 5-minute post-credit sequence.
God, I've hated the summer movies.
Yeah, it's been bad. Yeah. Bad, bad summer.
But it's a decent film. I think it's more of a renter, but...
Yeah, wait for Netflix.
Yeah.
Redbox on demand.
Yeah.
If you need to see it, yeah, check it out. You could do a lot worse out there.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah.
But that's about it for me.
Cool, yeah. I have nothing else for it. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I was smitten by Eisenberg and Stewart. Hope they do more projects together, because they were in Adventureland together.
Adventureland,
they
were pretty good in that.
Cool.
Cool.
All right, so that's American Ultra. Wait for Netflix. So I guess we're ready to move into the movie club. Bill, why don't you remind the listeners what we're going to talk about today for Movie Club.
This episode's Movie Club is the first movie in a trilogy, the Three Colors trilogy. It is called Blue. It's from 1993. It's from Krzysztof Kieslowski. And it's my favorite film of all time. We were talking about us fighting about Liverpool earlier.
That's right.
If Adrian doesn't like this film, yeah, not only is Movie Club going to stop, but I'm going to punch him in the nose. So no pressure, homie.
My heart's going to stop. I'm going to stop breathing.
No pressure.
Yeah, I love this film. It is outstanding.
Yep.
Every facet of cinema is just firing on all cylinders here.
Yeah.
Like, super creative. The script, very minimalist, but it sure packs a hell of a punch with every frame and every line of dialogue delivered. There's things going on in this film that just I did not see coming. Like, a big part of it is music, right?
Oh, that fucking score, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so she'll be looking at, you know, for example, a sheet of music, and she puts her fingers over it, and she can hear it, and you can hear it through the score. And it's playing as she's running her hands along it. And then she stops and the music stops. The way they pull it off in the film is just outstanding.
Genius stuff. I'm a little disappointed that I don't get to punch you in the face now.
That's right. Yeah. There's one scene I was watching, and I'm sure there's probably multiple scenes where I was like, man, it's really apparent that every filmmaker working today has seen this film.
Yep.
There's a bit where And we're going to talk spoilers because this is a film from 1993. And if you don't want to have it spoiled for you, just check the show notes. Skip this portion. Come back to it after you watch it.
But by all means, watch it.
Watch it.
My God, watch it.
Yeah. Watch the hell out of this film. There's a bit where she's swimming in a pool. She goes to get out and you hear music. And she stops. She goes back into the water and she kind of like curls up. And I was just like, that was just like gravity right there. Like,
as you were saying about people who have seen Blue, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the scene in Upstream Color where she's underwater getting the rocks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I never thought of that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shane Carruth stole that from Blue.
Oh, dude. I did not think of that.
Yeah. The first time I watched Upstream Color, I was just like, holy shit, he thieved that scene.
Totally. And I was joking with you about one scene that was like, I was like, they ripped that off from Donnie Darko. But like, Donnie Darko came out like 8 years after Three Colors Blue. Yeah, Binoche just... Her performance is very, very reserved, but just so complex, just amazing.
I love the whole idea of her being the person who's trying to get away from everything after this tragedy that happens to her. And then just the whole world around her just sort of starts to wake her up again.
Yeah.
And it's, and yeah, Binoche is just unreal in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really have an idea of how she affects others until like the end of the film.
Yeah.
Like she, without effort, touches many lives and each one is very profound. Sort of that realization at the end that just like, what a hell of an ending.
And, yeah. The curtain call.
Yeah.
As we will say,
yeah,
is probably my favorite ending to a film ever.
Wicked.
Yeah.
It's great.
Just the whole idea of the way he shoots it through like weird filters and shit and like weird angles. And the final scene of her crying.
Yeah.
Only the second time in the entire film she cries because she's like supposedly the emotional rock of everybody.
Yeah.
And it destroys me every time I watch it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh my God, it kills me.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. And yeah, I texted you this morning. I was like, dude, for some reason, I didn't cry. I must be a robot. But, I did watch it pretty late at night, but it had me buzzing last night. Like, I had a really tough time falling asleep.
Well, shit, man. That's just pure cinema.
You got me totally jacked up, and I was just like...
So that's your first Kieslowski film.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, congratulations for jumping on that bandwagon. Because he is the man, and he died way too young.
Oh, that's too bad. You mentioned he was 54.
Yeah, and he died like 2 years after making Red, which was the final film in the trilogy. He kind of had hinted he was going to retire.
Oh, really?
Except for he was still writing scripts.
No way.
And Tom Tykwer took one of his scripts after he died and made a film called Heaven.
Oh, okay.
Which is also really good with Cate Blanchett.
Oh, cool.
I got another question.
Yeah.
Did you, one of my favorite scenes in Kieslowski films are the woman putting the bottle in the recycling bin.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what was going on there.
It's in all of his films.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's, it always touches me so much. This woman who is like struggling to do this and it's just so perfectly shot.
Oh, yeah.
I love that, that stuff.
Yeah. And the character of Julie is her name.
Yeah.
She's just sitting there on the... Just taking everything in. She's got her eyes closed.
Yeah.
And that's happening around her. And it's not clear if she's aware of that happening, but it certainly seems like she's taking everything in.
Yeah.
There was, while I was watching the film, and tell me if I'm way off base here, but it seemed like there was something going on with time in that film. Like her mother confused her for somebody else.
Her sister.
Yeah, her sister.
That was Emmanuel Riva, by the way, the woman who was the old woman.
No way.
And Amor.
Amor.
Yeah.
Damn. She was good.
There's another Amor reference coming up in the Three Colors trilogy.
Oh, I saw a clip from White.
Okay. Yeah.
But,
no, it's from Red.
Oh, is it Red?
It's from Red. Okay. Yeah. I don't know about the time thing.
Like the prostitute, she was like, hey, where'd you get that? It was so familiar to her. She was like, I used to have one when I was a kid and I used to try to jump up and touch it. And I was like, did her daughter really die? What's going on here? I'm freaking out.
No, you were on acid, obviously.
That's right. Yeah. Don't do acid.
I also really enjoy the scene where, she's at the estate of that they used to own, well, still own, with the pregnant woman.
The mistress,
yeah. The mistress. And the mistress just says, your husband was totally right. You are the one that's like the emotional rock. And it's almost like he kind of knew if something ever happened that she would like take care of the child.
Yeah.
Even though he like cheated on her.
Yeah.
Because she's like the fucking rock in this film for everybody.
Oh, totally.
And that's why the ending destroys me so much.
Cause oh, yeah.
It's like finally like her scene to like emote. Because she doesn't emote during the whole film.
Yeah.
It just kills me.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene nearly got me when the housekeeper was crying in the closet. She was like, why are you crying?
Yeah.
She's like, because you aren't.
Yeah.
And that's totally how it goes. Like, I've witnessed that because, you know, I've got a big family. So with that comes a lot of loss.
Yeah, stuff happens
in my life, you know. That's part of life.
Yeah.
But to see that in a cinematic form kind of hit close to home a little bit. And I was like, man, yeah, I've witnessed that. I've witnessed the person who can't, who's keeping everything together and the person who is hurting for that person. And man, yeah, that was profound.
Yeah. So yeah, Kieslowski to me is what Kubrick is to people, or Terrence Malick, or,
nice,
you know, Bergman or Kurosawa. I love Kieslowski from like the Decalogue to Double Life of Veronique to the Three Colors trilogy. There is no better span of film ever made, as far as I'm concerned.
Right on.
I think he's like the greatest filmmaker I've ever seen.
Nice.
And I'm really glad you liked it.
Yeah.
As I said last episode, because the next movie is the second part, which is White.
Yeah.
It's the comedy
of
the Three Colors trilogy.
Oh, right on.
And it's like nothing you've ever seen before, comedy wise.
Right on.
Yeah. Like the opening scene, you're just going to be like, what the hell?
No way. Like,
is this from the same guy who made Blue?
Nice.
Yeah, it's unreal.
That's cool.
And then, there's Red, which if there's like it's like 1A and 1B for my like favorite movies of all time.
But oh, really?
I say Blue because there can only be one.
Yeah.
Like Highlander.
That's right.
And I'm super glad you enjoyed it.
Wicked.
So yeah, and the next, as I said, the next movie for Movie Club is White.
Yeah, Three Colors White. So you have until, hang on a sec, I'm just checking my calendar. You have until September 6th to watch Three Colors White. And you can join in the conversation. And
please do.
Yeah, please do.
I heart these films.
Oh, totally. They're great. Really great stuff. So yeah, check it out. If you're in the U.S., you probably are, because most of our listeners are based in the U.S., you can watch it on Hulu. So check it out. Three Colors White.
Or just blind buy them on Blu-ray.
Or just buy them on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I did.
I was checking your Twitter feed. I think it was on Saturday. And one of your next projection buddies watched Blue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's like weirdly out of the blue.
Yeah. He's never seen him before.
He was talking about him. It's like, did he like see our like Twitter post or something and he decided to watch Blue?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he said that was one of the trilogies that's always evaded him, and he just never made the time for it and just went for it. He seemed to really enjoy it.
So yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool, man.
All right, so that's the Movie Club. Let's move on to the next section of our show, the Lightning Round. Here's where we talk about other movies we've seen between the last show and this show. So I'll kick things off. I love comedy specials, so I watched Dimitri Martin Live. And it says in parentheses, at the time. So, do you like Dimitri Martin at all? Are you familiar with this stuff?
Not really. I know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
But I know he used to have a TV show.
Yeah.
I never watched it.
Yeah. He's very flat, and he's kind of like male Tig Notaro kind of thing. His delivery, the way he tells jokes. But he has a lot of fun with the English language and play on words and stuff like that. So he tells hundreds of jokes in a 1-hour special.
Nice.
I liked it quite a bit.
Cool. Netflix?
Netflix. Yeah, it just came out on Netflix.
Check it out.
Yeah, I liked it. Then I watched Doug Benson's latest movie, Chronic Con, Episode 420, A New Dope.
Man, that is a creative title.
It is. It's supposed to be a look at Comic-Con through the eyes of Doug Benson. And all he does is hang out in his hotel room. He goes to a conference room, hangs out in a lot of comedy clubs, goes to like this fancy IGN party that, you know, not everybody's going to be able to attend at Comic-Con. A couple times he interacts with people dressed in superhero costumes. So it's not really about Comic-Con at all. It's really bad.
This is the part of the podcast where I happen to say that guy might be a dick.
Yeah, he's...
Enough said.
Yeah, enough said. I thought, well, you know what? It's new. Something for the show. It's not funny. It's pretty lame. Has no direction, no sort of format.
Does it have one direction?
Oh, it has one direction.
Straight to the bottom.
Minus
420.
That's right. I was trying to think of the guy who quit. Zane, I think.
Why do you know that?
I have a 14-year-old niece.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So I tried, and I emphasize tried, to watch this documentary called What Happened, Miss Simone. I think it's a Netflix original. It's getting pimped pretty hard on Netflix because that's all I see every time I put Netflix on. So I watched about an hour of it. And it is so dull and boring and just garbage. It really proves to me that it takes a skillful filmmaker to make a good film out of unseen footage. You know, Brett Morgan knocked it out of the park with with a Montage of Heck earlier this year. But yeah, this woman, Miss Simone, she was an activist. She had a beautiful voice. She played classical piano. She played R&B. She played blues. She was a strong voice in like the 60s and 70s. And it was just Talking Heads documentary that just... I could go read her Wikipedia page and get the same experience.
So it didn't have a hook like Sugar Man?
There was no hook.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Sugar Man, Band Called Death, Montage of Heck, all superior music documentaries.
I actually watched Sugar Man about 2 months ago for the first time since it opened.
Oh, yeah?
It's a really good doc.
Yeah, man, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it flows well. It's got someone to root for.
Even though I kind of know now that a lot of what actually happened kind of wasn't in the documentary, he'd actually been discovered before then.
Oh, he was?
By some other people, but it didn't kind of fit the narrative, so they forgot about that. But, yeah, I guess I won't be checking that one out. Because I also see it a lot when I go on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
To watch anime at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Nice. And you and me, we go to a lot of film festivals. And every film festival has at least 10 music documentaries. Lambert and Stamp was one that was out this year. That was amazing.
It's out on Blu-ray and Netflix now, isn't it?
Blu-ray and on demand.
Okay.
Yeah. Not Netflix just yet. But, check out Lambert and Stamp.
Or just rewatch The Last Waltz.
That's right.
Which is an amazing music documentary.
Nice.
About the band.
Ah.
The band.
The band. All right. All right.
So is that it for you?
I have one more.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Sinister 2. This movie sucks.
Remember last episode where I just said I wasn't going to see it?
Yeah. I took the bullet for the team. I took it like a champ and got up. And brushed the blood off my face. And now I'm here. It's a bad movie. It's strange because Scott Derrickson, who directed the first one, and Chris Cargill, who wrote the first one, the two of them wrote the screenplay for this one. And it's just so different from the first. Like, sure, I think they were trying to go for something more original, but it's very formulaic. There's weird, like, domestic violence plays a big part of the movie, and it's like, that doesn't need to be there. Like,
I wasn't really a fan of the first one, but I kind of remember it kind of being two films. Like, it changed direction about halfway and came a totally different film,
yeah.
Which I thought was okay. Mm-hmm. I just don't like crappy horror films.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I
just see too many of them,
yeah.
And I just don't like them anymore.
Yeah. This one is not an exception to the rule.
Awesome. It's the year of bad horror, man.
It is.
Yeah.
Very few great horror films. So skip Sinister 2. It's really lame. It's not even scary. It's just a dull, boring mess.
The really sad thing is that if you say that to somebody, they're like, oh my God, I saw this really awesome horror film. I'm like, I saw that last year at Fantastic Fest.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's good, but yeah. No, it didn't come out this year as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad, so, bad year.
Yeah. That's it for me.
That's for it for you? Around.
Yeah.
All right. So me, I saw a movie called The Falling. Okay. It stars Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, Arya Stark.
Oh, nice.
About a school of female students who all of a sudden just start fainting for no reason.
Hmm.
And it's really vague and you have no idea what's going on. It's really kind of sci-fi-ish.
Okay.
Kind of weird, but kind of like a noir at the same time.
Oh, cool.
It's not bad. It's not great either, but it's okay. It's kind of like Minor League Picnic at Hanging Rock. I don't know. I don't know if Adrian's seen that film.
No, so, I haven't.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah. Shaun the Sheep movie.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It's charming.
Yeah,
it's really cute.
Cool.
Not there's like no dialogue in it.
Oh, nice.
It's just the sheep going meh, and the humans when they talk they go.
Oh, cool.
It's really cute.
Cool.
It's
Aardman film.
Yeah, right? It's adorable. Yeah. Sheeps try to find their master after they inadvertently hurt him and put him in the hospital and gave him memory loss.
Jeez, yeah, that's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, I wasn't a really big fan of the last Aardman film, the pirate movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, this is a return to form.
Cool.
I quite liked it.
Right on.
Cop Car.
What, Kevin Bacon?
Kevin Bacon is a dirty cop who has his cop car stolen by two little kids who probably should not be driving a cop car across like rural like Nebraska or whatever.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's all like flatlands and they're like driving in like hay and and he wants his car back and he's a really dirty shady guy.
Oh, does he have a mustache?
Yes.
Nice.
it's decent. It's a really small film, but I kind of liked it.
Nice.
I don't know what it's available on. It's on iTunes,
but
I don't know if it's theatrical or not.
Yeah, I think it's very limited release.
I know it played the Alamo Drafthouse because Kevin Bacon was there.
And cool.
Had a big thing on Twitter. But it's not bad. Albert Maisel's last film, Iris, about a like 90-something-year-old fashion icon in New York who is really into thrift buying and accessorizing, and it's really one note and boring.
Ah, too bad.
Yeah, which sucks because, as I said, it's Albert Maisel's last film. He was a genius, which kind of sucks. But I didn't like this one at all.
Oh, that's too bad.
Kind of sad about that, actually. And my last and definitely least, the one that I took for the team, four to the chest, man.
Oh, that's
the story of this episode.
Right in the face.
Yeah. Hitman Agent 47.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the worst action films I've seen in a very long time.
Oh, damn.
It just has no idea what it is or doing, or everything is rushed and makes no sense. And the Rupert Friend is really good on Homeland.
Okay.
He's really good on Homeland. He's my favorite character on Homeland, a show I really like.
Nice.
He's awful in this film.
Oh.
Zachary Quinto is also really bad in this film. It's just one of those films that you kind of think they made and might have been on the shelf for a while, and they said, fuck it, we just got to put it out.
Yeah.
Because it's awful. Definitely one of the worst films of the year.
That's
too bad. In a year of really bad films.
No.
I keep on saying this.
Yeah, me too.
But that's it for me, man.
Oh, and you watched Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, I did. I even wrote that down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished Daredevil on Netflix.
Yeah, how is it? I haven't finished it yet.
Other than like maybe two or three Marvel movies, it's the best thing Marvel's put out.
Oh, really?
It's amazing.
Damn, that's awesome.
I wasn't really into watching it, and then Marina Antunes told me to watch it, because she's like, I can't stop watching it.
Sweet.
Great recommendation on that one, because it's, to watch that now.
Nice.
It's
that's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really violent.
Yeah.
Lots of swearing.
Oh, blood.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Finally, like an adult Marvel thing. Everything is so PG. I loved it.
Cool.
High recommendation.
Right on, dude.
Thanks for reminding me.
Nice. What do we have coming up in the next episode? You kind of hinted at it. It's not very good. It
doesn't get better, man.
Oh,
it doesn't
no.
get better.
Upcoming films.
No Escape. Do you even know what this film is?
Owen Wilson, him and his family get stuck in like some in the Middle East. And
yeah. At least he has Lake Bell by his side.
Oh, that's right. Lake Bell. That's
yeah.
Right.
No. I got nothing off his trailer.
She's going to say, these are not the droids you're looking for.
In a world.
Yeah, that's right.
Adrian's favorite movie of the month so far, obviously. We Are Your Friends.
Ooh.
The Zac Efron DJ movie.
Oh. No. No, 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 no. Unless I hear really good things about it, like I heard with The Gift, I'm skipping the hell out of this one.
I'm going to see this one because I got a weird vibe on it.
Nice.
I'm thinking this might be okay.
Nice.
I don't know why.
Well, I'll let you watch it first.
Okay.
You tell me how it is.
And September 4th, I see the last one. So I don't really know if I'm going to be able to watch this one because, you know, plot really matters in The Transporter Refueled.
Oh, yeah.
Am I missing stuff?
No, no, definitely not.
I think this one is off the TV show, not the Statham stuff.
Oh, is that right?
And I never watched a TV show either.
I didn't know there was a TV show.
TV show.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Nice.
You going to see that one?
Doubtful. I don't know.
What are we going to review next episode?
You know what? I just remembered. I read this on Twitter the last couple days. Backcountry is opening in Canada.
We reviewed Backcountry last year on the Whistler podcast.
Oh, Whistler, yeah, but people haven't seen it yet.
Fuck.
Or maybe haven't heard that episode.
Oh my God.
We could talk about that. We could talk about the weather. We could talk about the transfer window.
Yeah, we can talk about Metal Gear, the Phantom Pain for an hour.
It could be a thin episode, man.
And one more on September 4th.
Oh, shit.
A Walk in the Woods. Robert Redford Nick Nolte go and walk the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
Looks okay.
I haven't heard of it until just now.
Well,
so.
We're seeing it for free next week. So
right on.
That's it.
Oh, man. Fuck summer, man. Fuck this whole summer.
Yeah, it's this is maybe the worst year ever for film.
It is. Yeah.
And we have a podcast. This really sucks.
And I was like, yeah, let's do a show every 2 weeks during the summer because there's so many movies. And it's been a disappointing summer.
Yeah. But other than that, man, festival season.
Yeah, bring it on. You got VIFF and I've got Fantastic Fest coming up.
I leave for Vancouver, I think, like the day we're supposed to record. So we might have to record the day before.
Oh, really? Yeah, we could work something out. Yeah.
Yeah, we usually record on a Sunday, and I think I leave on the Sunday. So,
oh, okay.
But I have the Saturday off.
Oh, cool. What? Oh, yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think it's the 18th or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll figure that out. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, people can find you on Twitter, right?
At SoundJam69.
Yeah. And you can find me. I'm at Adrian_Charlie. And the show has a Twitter account. It's at @TheGreen_Screen. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, any platform where you can listen to a podcast. We're on a search for The Green Screen of Death. Check us out.
We have our own Apple Music channel, too.
Oh, we do? Yeah.
No, we don't. But
Green Screen of Death.
I wish. That'd be cool.
Play the John Cena music.
How about we don't?
All right. We'll skip that. Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
Peace.